Vavabasu, Perek Yud Mishnah Hei. Misha Pora Mikzas Choyvoy Vihishlish Shtaroy. Two people had a Choyv between them. Reuven lent Shimon $100, the Shtar Choyv. $50 was paid on the first of the month. And now the Shtar, you have a problem with the Shtar. Reuven, the Malva, is holding on to the Shtar. Shimon doesn't quite trust him because $50 was paid. What's going to happen if Reuven comes? And Reuven comes in his Teve again $100. On the other hand, the Malva certainly doesn't trust the Loiva to give him the shtar, because then he'll never see the other $50. To write a shoiva would be the simplest etzah. They don't have the paper, they didn't want to bother, whatever it is, they can't write. So what they make up is to be mashlished, miloshen sholish, they put it by a third party. They entrust the shtar to somebody who's neman on both of them, and the shtar won't be given back to the Loiva until the $50, the remainder of the choiv, is paid back to the Malva. Loiva says, if I don't give you back the other 50 in the next 2 weeks, in the next 30 days, whatever it is, I'm allowing you, the sholdish, the third party, to give back the shtar to the malva. Clearly, the malva then is going to circle back, and he's going to be giving the whole 100. So basically what he's doing is he's saying, even though I paid 50, I'm willing to take a chance and forfeit my 50. I believe I'm going to pay up the chayv in the next 30 days. If I don't, you can give him the ammunition that he'll be able to collect for me the whole chayv. He gives man v'loy nosan. Let's say the 30 days comes and goes, and he didn't pay the chayv. Rabbi Yossi oimei yitain, Rabbi Yehuda oimei lo yitain. Rabbi Yossi says, look, they made up. So that's a binding agreement on them. The sholosh could give back the shtar to the Malva. Rabbi Yehuda oimei lo yitain. Why not? An agreement is an agreement. So here's we have the famous machloikis. The Rav brings down Berichus. It's brought in many places in Shas. It's called Asmachta Kanya, Asmachta Loi Kanya. Asmachta Kanya, in simple terms, means an if-then type of situation where there's something that somebody wouldn't be mechuyev. In this case, the Levi would not be mechuyev to pay 100 beyond the 50, or to forfeit his first 50. He paid 50. He owes another 50. That's what has to be paid. If they make up an agreement that's based on, well, if those are the circumstances, then that's what will come out. Well, that's what we're making up should come out. The question is that agreement binding? We pass an asmachta loy kanya, which is the psak of Rabbi Yehuda. And every agreement, let's give it a case where it comes up very often. A potential buyer puts a down payment of $100,000, they go into contract. And he says, if I'm not ready for the closing and I don't come up with the other $750,000, by January 1st, 2025, then my $100,000 is forfeit. Deposits become forfeit in very many agreements. Doesn't have to be $100,000. Any camp deposit, you lose the deposit if a car, whatever it is. Did the person who's giving the $100 want to give the $100 or the $100,000 to the party that he's agreeing to forfeit the money to? No. He planned on keeping the agreement and going into closing, on signing up the kid for camp, buying the car, whatever it is. And that's why he was willing to go into a sakona for him on his down payment. If he doesn't really want to give the other person the money, that idea is called that since he doesn't really want to be makne, it's only, well, because I don't really want, that's not called gemiras das. This is the way Rabbi Seinu Bali Atosus and the Rosh is that a person is not gemir das with an asmakta, and he doesn't really mean to be makne, and therefore the hishtabdus is not a shibud, and that's why lo yitain. Rabbi Yossi am yitain, Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold to that. Lefi the Rambam, the Nakuda is a little bit more sophisticated. It's not a chsar and gmir's das. According to Tosis, that's a chsar and gmir's das. You could ask yourself all sorts of questions. Gambling, a whole sugi in Sanhedrin. We'll learn Mitzvah Hashem soon. Masechah Sanhedrin, we're going to see that one of the psulim is when people gamble, does the person who loses the bet really want to give the money in question to the other person? So maybe that has something to do with Gezel. We'll talk about that more over there. He doesn't really want. So what about when people are stopped playing a game for dice? gambling on cards, does that have a din of gezel, or do we say over there that that doesn't go into the regular category of asmachta lekanya? So Tosfos says over there, there's no gemiras das, but there's no lack of gemiras das. Nobody knows what the dice are going to roll. It's only over here in a business deal. He really thinks that he's going to bring the money for the closing. He's going to get the mortgage, and he's going to be able to go into closing in a timely fashion. So over there, he doesn't really want. He doesn't really think. But over there, both parties know that nobody knows. So gambling is all about nobody knows. It's the thrill of gambling is taking a chance. So over there, there's no chesaron gemiras das, because the gemiras das are not knowing. That's the way Rabbi Seinu, Harosh, Vatosvis understand the Gedorim of Asmachta. The Rambam, like we said, is a little bit more nuanced. The Rambam learns that it's a halacha over here in the mechanics of Hakno. Asmachta means that, if you think about it, there's really no Hakno. Let's say in the case of the down payment. When Reuven goes into contract with Shimon and he says, you could have the $100,000. Did he give him the $100,000? No, of course not. He's using the $100,000 as a down payment on a house. He's not really giving him the $100,000. So what is he really doing? He's saying, well, I'm giving you the $100,000 then on the day of potential closing if. So he's not giving him the $100,000. He's saying that I'm committing myself that then, if the situation doesn't pan out the way I want it to, then I'm giving the $100,000. That if then is not a hakno. There's no hakno today. And that he's mishabed himself to make a hakno. He's mishabed himself today that he will be makne then. That's not a hakno. It's halach in hilchis mekach umemka, matona, mechiru, whatever you want to call it. But it's not a halach in gemiras das. That's the way the Rambam learns. Memele, gambling has no shaykhis with this type of thing. And the Rambam doesn't bring this type of halach in that context. But gambling will be an asmachta, because is he really giving him $100? They make up that whoever loses the card game will get $100. Is he giving him $100? He wasn't macking him $100. He's saying, if I lose then, so he's mishabed himself to then. So it doesn't work. So it's not a function of Gmir's Das, and therefore there's no Gmir's Das in the world. We explain, according to the Russian dice, maybe that would work for a gambling or a lottery ticket. According to the Rambam, would not work. Machloikis, whether gambling has a problem with Asmachta. One more point that we'll just mention in this context is the way we said the case is that the shtar, in our case in the Mishnah, was hufkad by a sholish. And what they're making up is if he doesn't bring the other $50 for payment to the choiv, then the sholish should give the money back to the malva. Should give the shtar back to the malva. The way we explained is then the malva will collect shalaka din. The Gemara with the Rishonim, it's really not so much in the Gemara, the Rishonim go through a discussion over here that what he's really doing is not he's giving him the malva, the wherewithal to collect Shalokadin. What he's doing is he's saying, I'm taka forfeiting the $50 that I paid. The Loiva says if the Choiv is not paid in its entirety by 30 days from now, then I'm forfeiting the money that I gave you. So again, we run to an Asmachta problem. The Hesber is, did he give him the money? No. Did he mean to give him the money? Does he want to give him the money? No, of course not. What he bets him he paid the money now for a Chayv. He doesn't want to give it as a Matana. He's saying, if I don't pay the rest of the Chayv in 30 days, then I'm turning it into a Matana. That's a problem of Asmachta. Now, can a Shtar Chayv, interesting question. Let's say he'd be able to turn the money into a Matana. Let's say Asmachta does work, according to Rabbi Yossi. Is the Shtar Chayv a valid Shtar Chayv? The shtar over here lost its validity on $50. Shtar shenimchal shelova boyu poroi, a shtar that was paid. We say that the choiv inherent in the shtar, the shibud inherent in the shtar was already nimchal. The shtar is a chas b'bam, it's a piece of paper. So how over here could you use it? So whether we should understand is that what he's doing is he's saying, I'm paying you the $50 now, but I'm making up that if the other $50 are not paying the next 30 days, then retroactively, I'm turning what I gave you today into a matana. Mishnah Vav, Mishenimchak Shtar Choivoy. If somebody has a Shtar Choiv that was erased, got waterlogged. Midin Lov Edim, Edim that saw the Shtar. could come, they could say edus on what was written in the shtar, bolifnei bezdin v'oisim l'kium, and the shtar could be rewritten with the achrayus of the bezdin based on the edim saying what was written in the first shtar. Now, this is not as simple as just, yeah, well, he had a shtar, why can't you write it again? Because remember, the cheftz of a shtar is chal only as a kosher shtar with dasa mischayev. Over here, the malva is bringing the shtar, not the loiva. The loiva is the dasa mischayev. So, this is a special takana that there's a shtar kium. This is a kium on the original shtar. And that's why it's called voisin le kium. What does it say in the shtar? Ish ploini ben ploini, nimchak shtori biyoin ploini. Has to have the name of the person, the date. Uploini uploini edim, it has to have the name of the edim. Here as well, the Rishonim ask a lomda shakasha, sugi and ksubas daf chov, which is the sugi of shtaris. The Rishonim ask that lechur, the edim being made and what was written in the shtar is aid mi pi aid. An aid saying over that an aid told him that Reuven lent Shimon $100 is pasul edus, so why over here should it be kosher? And the answer is because the edus are not saying over edus, they're saying over a psak that's in the shtar. This is what we mean when we say there's a chalois of a shtar. A shtar does not create a source of information of edus that can be presented to Bezdin. A shtar represents a koyach legabi the choiv, a koyach legabi the field. It's a koyach guvaina. That's why if Reuven is coming to Bezdin and he knows that he has two kosher edim that can be made, that Shimon dented his car or borrowed from him money, he knows he has money in the bank. But lemaisi, he's the moitzi. The person who you're trying to take money from is the muchzik. Masha Enkein, when a person has a shtar, we've seen in earlier mesechtes that the koyach of a shtar is not a regular hoitzos moment. There's a shita of Beishamai that holds that shtar kegovui domi. Ha'imid ligva is kegovui domi. A shtar, a migu that a person has a shtar might be called a migu lahachzik and not a migu lahoitzi. A shtar is like a psak. A person's holding on to the psak of a koyach, and this is what we call the loshen of the Gemara. Edim achsum al ashtar nasa kemishin nech kreidusim bebezin. Their post, edim having said their haidah in bezin. It's already dovish in the skabal in bezin. So over here as well, it's not aid mi pi aid. It's an aid on a shtar, something else, and that's why it works. Misha para miktzas choyvoy. We had a little bit of this in Mishnah Hey legabi asmachno. Here the chayv is partially paid up, and here we go to the same problem, that the malva can't be trusted to have the shtar, he's going to collect the other 100, another 100. The loiva certainly can't be trusted to have the shtar, he'll burn it, and the malva will never be able to collect the remainder of the chayv. So what should he do? If Yehuda Aimi Yachlev, write another shtar, with the other 50. True, it costs a little bit of money, but it's worth it. If Yehuda Aimi Yichtov Shoivor, write a shoivor on the 50. That was paid, and then the loiva will hold on to a shaver of 50, the malva has a shtar chayv of 100, the malva will be able to collect his chayv properly, he won't be able to collect 100 because the loiva has a shaver. Amar Rabbi Yehuda nimtza tzorchli Hashem is shaver min ha'achborim. The fact that a loiva has to hold on to his shtar long term to watch it from being ruined, colloquially, the mission says, l'shaver min ha'achborim, that shouldn't be eaten by rats. What that means is the burden of holding on to the shtar is going to be on him. The malva could force the loiva. He doesn't have to write another shtar. The malva could force the loiva to take a shaver, and yes, we'll have to hold on to it. Why? Because the malva should be in the driver's seat. The malva should be the one who has a better koyach. Now, this is not a moral thing that the malva should have the upper hand. The way the Gemara explains it, and the Rav brings, is that if you're going to have to rewrite another shtar on 50, you're going to have to write it with today's date. The malva will only be able to collect the loiva from the date that's written in the shtar. So Miller, by definition, the malva is going to be losing. The malva had a koyach to collect from the original date of the original shtar choyv, the full 100. So you have to leave him with that. You can't downgrade his chus to collect. Therefore, the loiva is going to have to bear the burden of holding on to his shtar.